Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. Rockets in action tonight, taking on Orlando. Expect an ugly game. The last time they played Orlando, it was ugly. And the Rockets won it, I want to say 97-84. Yeah, I think it was that was it. 97-84. It wasn't that long ago. But you know what? That Orlando team is feisty. That Orlando team just beat Cleveland the other day. That Orlando team is really good defensively. And the Rockets weren't that good defensively against Philadelphia. Just not good against a team that's not very bad team, actually. They're a bad team, one of the worst teams, one of the lowest-rated teams. And so that was it. Yet the Rockets were down by 25 to them, and they came back and won, which was nice.
And they're going into Orlando against one of the biggest bleep talkers in the game today, in Paolo Banchero. So there could be some more smoke like we saw.
He loves to talk?
He does love to talk. There's a clip out there of him talking to Ty Jerome. You mentioned them just beating Cleveland. Ty Jerome, the former Virginia guard who's now playing for the Cavs. They have it back and forth. And Ty Jerome, and for whatever reason, maybe they played in the ACC against each other at Duke for the 1 year Paolo was there. Not sure what the hate is from, but pretty much for 30 seconds straight, Paolo calls him trash. You suck. but in different language I can't use here. TAN, I believe, is the acronym I would say. Yes. Yes, Lance, you know what I mean. He called him that.
TAN?
That's an acronym for three words. Yes, he called him that a couple of times and goes, and Ty Jerome's like, I will start on your team right now.
I noticed that.
I would start on your team right now. He goes, no, you trash. I'll give you buckets. You can't score. That was Paolo.
Did they get
Beckett.
Him mic'd up that? Like, how do you know what all he said?
There's some guy who somehow gets the ambient noise and enhances it and finds out what these guys are saying.
I noticed the AN is. There's a lot of ways T-A-N. That the AN is used.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
There's trash a lot of ass B, something. Yeah.
T.
He's TAL.
P.
Lance is TAL.
Yeah, trash ass. Nice.
And Paolo said Ty Jerome was TAN.
TAN. TAN.
Yes.
BAN.
Yes.
There's a lot of variations.
So
typically,
I don't know how Paolo feels about the Rockets, but we know the Rockets don't back down, and Paolo doesn't back down.
Is that one of the worst? Is that better than, you know, you're small? TAN?
I mean, people. BAN is worse than anything.
BAN's
worse than anything.
That's what Ime called LeBron.
He called him the B.
Soft
the
ass
B.
boy.
Yeah, he called him a soft ass boy.
That's right.
And then I think the other B word was.
He used the B on word.
Yeah, and LeBron was offended. He don't call me that. hey, don't call me that. So, and Ime.
What are you
going
to do about it against Ime?
I mean, LeBron is 6'8", 260.
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be a pretty good tussle.
I'm going to go with Ime in this one.
I don't
one.
Know. I'll go with the guy who's about 15 years younger. And it's crazy I say 15 because LeBron's
strength.
Like 40.
Ime's
a coach. What, Ime in his 50s? I don't know how old he is, honestly. But LeBron's not that much younger. I think they played against each other at some point.
Yeah. Look, he's got the youth. Oh, that really young guy.
A couple of years, and he's in NBA playing shape, and Ime's just in good shape as a man.
Ime's 47.
Oh, so only 7 years younger.
Yeah, so they did cross over.
Yes, they played against
each other.
But
he probably didn't see Ime because Ime wasn't really playing.
At that point.
Yeah.
So just be aware.
At most points.
The game itself, probably not going to be pretty. But if there's some talking, it'll probably be between Paolo and the Rockets.
He did average 13.7 points a game 1 year.
How about that?
Yeah, that's not.
He was pro for the Spurs, maybe?
No, for Sacramento.
Sacramento?
Oh, that's why nobody saw him.
Yeah, so no.
Those
Sacramento teams you know
good.
What? No, he didn't. That was something else. Never mind. His highest is 8.4.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think those were minutes I was looking at, actually. Yeah, 13.7 was his minutes per game.
He's kind
points.
Of.
Well, 8.4 points per game.
He did average 28.6 minutes for the Portland Trailblazers back in 06, 07. Averaged 8.4 points. Let's look at his turnovers to assist. How are you going to preach turnovers to assists. Hey. One assist per game and 0.7 turnovers.
Those who can't coach, okay?
I'm just saying.
Sometimes you're a better coach than
I don't want Jalen Green to say, look at you. You are 1 to 0.7.
Name all those great players that were coaches.
Larry Bird.
Great coaches.
Not many. Rick Carlisle.
I don't know if he was a great player.
Oh, great player? No. Yeah, he wasn't a great player.
Mm. Yeah, great player. It just doesn't happen other than Larry Bird.
Very Deion, do you believe now? Nah? Deion turned around that program.
Mike Vrabel, would he be considered a great player?
Yeah, he was a great player.
For a time.
He was a very good player.
He's a good player.
He has way more touchdown catches than you.
Yeah, you want to keep talking trash? How many touchdown catches do you have, John, in the NFL? Zero.
No, but that's not what you're talking. You're talking about, like, he's good enough that he's not in that list of below average, lower level players who become coaches. That's not Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel was a good player.
Mike Vrabel was an all pro.
He wasn't a...
No, but most of the... really, really good coaches
were.
You know what? Phil Jackson was better than average player.
Yeah, but most of them have been. And Rudy was a good player before he got socked in the face. Yeah. So that's maybe basketball has a few more actually that were pretty good players. But historically, they either haven't played or they've been not great.
Right,
not great, especially in baseball.
I think there's
baseball is the home of that kind of stuff.
What
catchers?
A bunch of catchers and guys who, like, Machete will be a manager before you know
Tony La Russa didn't even play.
He didn't?
Whitey, no, he never was a major leaguer, no.
Really?
No,
I
he's a minor leaguer.
Tony LaRusso baseball card from when he was...
A minor leaguer.
Really? Well, that's
the Whitey Herzogs, the Earl Weavers, they weren't players. They were just managers. I don't know that Earl Weaver. What did Earl Weaver? Did he play?
No, Tony La Russa played.
Did he?
For the Oakland. Yeah, I mean, not a ton, but he had 203. He had 203 at bats in his career. So
did he?
The most he had was 106 in 1970. He was not good, as is the point we're making.
Yeah.
Tommy Lasorda wasn't good.
No.
Most of these guys weren't good. That's changing now, though, because there's enough money in it to where a lot of good players, they want to do one of two things. Either get on TV, get a podcast, and you can find a podcast pretty easily if you're a former
player. Really? Because I don't see any former players with podcasts now.
Yeah, it is. It is a podcast.
It's a big business now.
I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but there are some people who all they do.
You know who's... what's his name? Former NBA player. Anyway, actually pretty good.
Not Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague.
He's funny.
Jeff Teague's pretty funny.
Jeff Teague's stories, he's an amazing storyteller. Yeah. His stories are so authentic.
I know.
I love listening to Jeff Teague.
He said when he was in Milwaukee.
Because he's also very deprecating.
Yeah.
And when he was talking a story, I'm sure you saw the one that made the rounds again about Jimmy Butler the other day. Did you see that one?
No.
There's a lot of them.
Well,
where he talked about, he's the original one that told the story about Jimmy Butler wanted a contract extension from Minnesota, and he basically came in late, and then when he got there, and Jimmy was being a big pain in the ass, and he refused to play with the starters. He goes, I want these guys. Like, they were G League guys, and he took them. He beat the starters. He was trash-talking them the whole time. Then they wanted to run it back, and Jeff Teague's, like, laughing. He's like, he was talking about all these trash-ass, like, starters, and then I realized, hey, I'm starting. Wait, he's talking about me. He said he was laughing. He thought he was really funny. Jeff Teague beat him. Jimmy Butler beat the starters with a bunch of G Leaguers, and he said he wasn't even shooting. He was, like, getting assists and rebounds just to make a point. He said they tried to say, run it back, Jimmy. They wanted a rematch. Jimmy took off. He took off at it. And they said Jeff Teague was trash talking Jimmy Butler at one point when Cat scored on him. Jimmy hauled ass out of the facility, took off. And he said they were in the locker room with the TV on, was ESPN. And before you know it, Jimmy is on. Rachel Nichols is in his driveway talking to him. And he's telling like a story of, he said, this guy had it all set up. He was going to have Rachel Nichols come, and he was going to, like, this whole thing was a setup. He was going to come in, whip our ass, and then go do an interview with Rachel Nichols that he already had set up in his driveway. That's why he had to take off so he could get home in time.
That's funny. He also, Jeff Teague told the story about when he was a rookie, he was on the end of the bench and he was giving Steven Jackson the business. And he kept on, you know, hey, you suck, Steven Jackson, blah, blah, blah. Steven Jackson at the end of the, and Steven Jackson gets the ball at the end of the game and hits the game winner. And all of his, and Jeff Teague's teammates were all like, shut up. What are you doing? You idiot? And Steven Jackson goes, it's the only one of my whole career. Because of you, I got one.
Buzzer beater?
Yeah, buzzer beater. The only game one of my winner. Whole career. Yeah. 713-780-3776.
Yeah, Kevin McHale, Pete Rose. There've been some that have been pretty good.
Pete Rose was a good manager, not a great manager.
But he was a manager.
Yeah, he was a manager, there's been Bart Starr was a coach too, but
yeah.
He wasn't very
Kevin
good.
Kevin McHale got to Western Conference Finals.
Kevin McHale. Oh yeah, Kevin McHale was good. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was good with the Timberwolves, too.
Craig DeSurf is pretty good.
Craig DeSurf's great. Yeah. Craig DeSurf's not good. He's great. And Craig DeSurf is, listen, the reason that we talk about Craig DeSurf is because Craig DeSurf, my man, is just always putting in that work, making sure that you've got the best deals possible. And that's the Craig DeSurf difference. He wants to make sure that you get the best rates and you get the best opportunities to have the very best vehicles at the best prices. It's that simple. I'll give you an example. The GMC Sierra 1500 is the perfect intersection of looks, of power, of technology. Motor Trend gave it the Best Tech 2025 badge. And where you can get that is Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. The GMC Sierra 1500 is Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Let's talk about savings for a second. Well-qualified buyers can get 0.9% APR financing or get thousands off in purchase allowances on the 2025 GMC Sierra 1500 with a TurboMax engine. All you have to do is see dealer for complete details. It's all available online at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC.com or head out to Angleton. GMC, we are professional grade.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A little public service announcement here. Wayne is joining us here from University of Houston Clear Lake. They got a nice golf tournament coming up that we want to get people out to. Wayne, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, John. Good morning. How are you, sir?
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us this morning. And tell people about University of Houston Clear Lake and the golf tournament coming up.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, first and foremost, again, thank you to you gentlemen, ESPN, for kind of quickly hosting us this morning. As far as the tournament itself, it'll be April 7th, Monday. We have an 8 a.m. check-in, 9 a.m. shotgun start. It's a typical four-person best ball scramble. Each year we've seen our numbers grow. We were 80 players the first year. Last year we had 88, and we're on what I call the road to 112. Of course, some other golf committee members are pushing us 120-plus, and we're getting there, John. So with the help of this station and other partners in the community, we feel confident we're going to hit 120-plus. So kind of give you a background on how this started, if you will. About 6 years ago, you know, my wife and I are kind of involved as community individuals. You know, we have three young boys, so of course we do kids sports, baseball, karate, chess tournaments, you name it. Also, a big advocate for education. So I've just been very blessed to have had support from, you know, multiple members of the university, you know, Dr. Richard Walker, who's the president over there, VP Joe Staley, and many others, kind of helped pave the way for this event. And honestly, my vision was to kind of teach my young boys about creating a legacy or building something to be proud of. So you can imagine, John and Lance, how those conversations are in our household, where most are teaching them how to throw a baseball, and I'm talking about building a legacy. I must be a world-class father there. But definitely giving back, developing community growth is what we're always trying to teach them and mentor them, you know, strengthen and connect alumni outreach, and then ultimately get to a point where we can start raising money for student scholarships. So that's what this is about. We're a regional comprehensive university and, you know, an extension of the UH system, and the wonderful things the Chancellor, Couture, the Regent, Board of Regents, and all her leadership team members are doing as a system.
Good. So it's April 7th. It's Monday. It's where is it? What's the course?
It's at South Shore Harbor Golf Club, located in Lake City, Texas. Yes, sir.
Yeah, South Shore Harbor, University of Houston, Clear Lake, raising money for scholarships. If you want to play, if you can play, if you want to help, if you went to UH Clear Lake, you want to, or you're in the area and you want to help out, you want to help raise some money, you want to get a foursome together, whatever it is, what's the website?
The website is www.uhcl.edu /alumni/events, and then you'll be able to get to the golf tournament from there.
Okay, uhcl.edu /alumni/events. Get on out there April 7th and help out UHCL. Hate to cut you off, but we got to go. We got Frank Caliendo joining us next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, which is really, really cool. Wayne, best of luck with your tournament. April 7th, South Shore Harbor, uhcl.edu. Get there and sign up for the golf tournament. Help raise money for scholarships. Great stuff, Wayne. We appreciate you. And what Frank Caliendo going to join us next. When is he in town?
I gotta see when he's in town. I think it's next month.
Next month?
Yeah, he wants to come in studio with us. So yeah, come on by.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. No. Would love
unless
him.
You and I are both out of town. Or unless you are at a golf tournament. I don't know when is. I gotta see when is. I think he told me the dates, and I'm pretty sure I'll be in studio at least.
You'll probably unless you're at the draft.
Well, no, I think it's before that.
Oh, it's before that. Okay. Yeah. 827 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We got a break. Frank Caliendo joining us next right here on the show. Right now, I'm talking about Ownwell. If you're a Texas homeowner, okay, you have and you have mortgage payments. Even if you don't have mortgage payments, you've got to pay property taxes, okay? Your property taxes have been going up over the last 5 years. They never go down. They just don't go down. You could be overpaying on your property tax. Don't do it. Don't let the government decide how much you're paying property taxes, how much your property tax is, because you can fight them. How do you fight them? Ownwell. That's how you fight them. Easy to sign up for Ownwell. Takes 3 minutes. It's effortless. They save you money. Okay, the average money savings is $1,100. 86% of Ownwell's customers receive a reduction. 86%. In other words, the government, 86% of the time, is overcharging you, okay? Because the 14% must be right, because otherwise Ownwell would get that money, okay? Ownwell would get that money back for you. But 86%, that's how wrong the government is. And that's how you need to fight the government. You need to do this. The deadline to protest is May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start your protest today at ownwell.com. ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Granato, Lance Zierlein here with you, being joined by an old friend of the show. Frank Caliendo is with us back in the 6-10 days and has been with us I don't know how many times, but it's always, always, always awesome to talk to Frank and get that perspective that is so unique in the business. And he's going to be coming to the city of Houston. Frank, you coming back to see us?
Absolutely. Why do you think I'm calling?
That's the only reason.
No. But it's a big reason. I got to come see you when I'm in town too. I'm looking forward to it. I was with Mel Kiper there talking about Lance Zierlein doing all the NFL breaking down players. I'm not even sure if he knows what he's talking about. His dad coached in the NFL, but Lance Zierlein, at the end of the day, give him a cup of coffee, and he and I will be back in the dungeon talking about what we got right and wrong.
You know, Frank, Lance talks about this about Mel Kiper. What a great you know all of these guys. Mel Kiper is a great guy, right?
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Like when he gets off of TV, like when you watch him on TV, he's kind of punchable, right? I mean, he's like, what are you talking about? And then you get off the. You know, when Todd was there, Todd's gone, but he'd be always cutting off Todd, Todd, and then say whatever he had to say. In person, he's the most polite,
sweetest guy in the world. And yeah. after I did a sketch about him, the first time I did a sketch about him, he called me. And he's like, Frank, we just watched the entire Kuiper family watch you on the television. You ever been to Vegas? Ever been to Vegas before? What do you go see there? You see Cirque du Soleil with the guys, the bendy people, the clowns. They do all sorts of things. People hanging from the trapeze. Or you go see Blue Man Group. And I hear they're not actually blue people. People think they're aliens, but they're human beings just wearing blue paint. At the end of the day, you got to be careful for the toilet paper rolls coming down and the ductwork that's going to make the noise like you're swinging around a vacuum cleaner hose. I was made aware of it more after when I first started doing it. People were talking about the Baltimore accent and the, you know, so I did, I was catching on to it, but didn't know 100% what it was. I sometimes I'll study that stuff a little bit more, but definitely as I honed in on the impression, that became more a part of it. But then what happens is it becomes a big over the top character that has nothing to, you know, that's not exactly Mel anymore. So the funny part becomes that thing right there, when he's trying to find the right word to put in the right situation at the end of the day. You know, it's just going to be talking about the pumpkin pie, got to have it every day. So it's the cadence more, but there are definitely people have their own, what's a dialect, a personal dialect that they use. So, but I find it more in the, like, the throat usage and stuff like that. With Madden, it was always that glottal thing back in here. You know, there's that sound right there, that word there. That's an interest that I actually got called the other day by my agent. They're like, they want you to meet, they want me to meet. I don't know if this is going to happen, but they said they wanted me to meet with Nicolas Cage because he's doing that Madden movie. They want to do Skype. I'm like, no. If I'm going to teach him some Madden stuff, we're hanging out in Vegas together. Me and Nicolas Cage, boom, it's happening. So we'll see if that happens. But I was like, I'm not going to Skype with the guy. You know, if somebody's going to get the secrets to the Madden impression, I'm gonna get something out of it too, and have a story that I hung out with Nicolas Cage.
But it's a good show in person. We've gone to Frank's shows. We actually hosted one time on stage with Frank when he was here at the Improv years back during a Super Bowl when you were in town. So Frank Galliano, make sure you go see him in person as well. Speaking of Nicolas Cage, by the way, I'm watching a movie right now, The Unbearable Weight of Immense Talent or something like that. Have you seen that, John?
No.
Is Nicolas Cage playing himself?
Oh, yeah, no.
He's got financial problems, and then he goes and sees Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
And I've never been the biggest Nicolas Cage fan, but there's something about his, it lends itself, when you're that big a personality, it lends itself to imitations as well.
Yeah.
Well, the great part about him in that is he's in on the joke.
Yeah.
Like when people let you, look, when you're in on the joke of yourself and you're allowing that to happen, I think that gives people, you know, it lets people see that you're vulnerable and you're willing to make fun of that. And it gives you a human element because he's a great actor. He's taken a ton of roles that I don't want to say are beneath him or whatever, but that's like Michael Caine taking all those crazy, you know, roles that just weren't that great. And then he later in his career decided to start picking individual roles that were just more specific to him or that he would, you know, he saw as better creatively. So Cage is I'm turning into Kuiper right now. Cage is, you know, he does a tremendous job, did the Pig movie and all sorts of things. And you look at the end of the day, Nicolas Cage, Caliendo, not interesting enough as himself, so he goes into the Mel Kuiper Jr. impression.
You know who else is great to be back is Gruden. It's nice to have him back in the mix, isn't it?
Right now. John Granato to John Gruden. I tell you what, being over there at Barstool, that's a tremendous situation, man. We're going to do, we're going to open up some pizza boxes. We're going to do some unboxing, man. It's going to be. So Gruden, he came out to a show when I was in Tampa. I've been friends with him for quite a while. But he came out to a show in Tampa maybe sometime last year, maybe. I don't remember if it was in the summer or what. And, you know, he was down. He was just, he's still doing it. He does cameos. He just sits there doing cameos, like recording things for people, like birthday greetings and stuff like that. It's that he loves doing it. It's amazing. I watch him and he's like, yeah, I woke up, man. I got 57 cameos I need to do this morning. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, record these things. You should do this, Frank. I'm like, yeah, but they're going to want me to do it as you. Yeah, man. I'll tell you what. I get a little percentage if you do that, man. Like, you made tens of millions of dollars. But he likes to connect with the fans. And they, you know, I said, well, here's the thing. They always want me to be somebody else. They don't want me to be me. It's kind of, you know, weird in that situation for me. You're just being, you know, this crazy guy in your, you know, in the FFCA terminal in this little cove in Tampa. But it's so funny because he's watching. I just watched him do these cameras like, so I guess it's your birthday, huh? You're breaking through the number 50 there, huh? Just like Walter Payton. Charlie, take a look at that video right behind me, man. Remember, but anybody better than Walter Payton? So then I pop in these cameos with him, and he's like, happy anniversary, Ted. Look, this is my second anniversary with myself. What are you doing? A little spider, two, why a banana cream pie for everybody, man. Here we go. So when he got the Barstool thing, I saw it, and I started texting him ideas. I'm like, break down the guy, and maybe they had this in the works already, but I'm like, break down all the Barstool guys, and then do pizza reviews yourself. I'm like, do everything about Barstool as you. And like I said, I don't know if they probably had that in the pipeline already, but he's a fun guy.
So you obviously did the John Gruden imitation before you met Gruden, quickly did he latch on and say, man, I got to get your number, man. We got to talk.
I like when you went to do it. I got to get your number, man.
Hey, give me your number. We gotta get together and talk about some stuff, man.
I got some ideas for you, man. I need a mini me version of myself. I need an R2-D2 of me. So
you ever do that imitation in the bathroom, man, when you're taking a dump? You ever just do a Gruden while you're doing Gruden?
You know, while you're taking a deuce? I got a son named Deuce, man. He can bench press 2 million pounds. So I did it on ESPN when I first went there from Fox, and people were telling me, well, he might not like it because he's kind of guarded and stuff like that. And then I met him at the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl I did for ESPN. It was in New Orleans in the ESPN tent that was off to the side of the dome. And everybody's standing around as I walk. I tell this story on stage sometimes. And I walk up to them, and all the suits are watching, all the executives, because they're hoping it goes well because they like that I'm doing this impression. And I walk up to him, and I make the face to him, and he's like, so, you're the guy that does me, huh? I'm like, yeah, how'd you figure that one out, Einstein? He's like, where are you from?
Einstein.
He's like, where are you from? I'm like, Sandusky, Ohio, which is where he's from. He's like, really? I'm like, no. He's like, good, because you were blowing my mind, man. I tell you what, I got to get your number.
It's really the way that you, yeah, man, the way that you've really got him down. You know, I remember I told you years ago, I told you I was, you know, I'd kind of done a little Charles Barkley, and you were working on a Charles Barkley, and you started incorporating that with yours. It got really good. We did. But something else that happened on our show, I want to believe that something that happened with me and John, the second time maybe we ever had you in studio, maybe the first time, we were at 610, has led to this on a much more permanent basis for you. When we were throwing out the, and I swear to God, for those who didn't hear it, and Frank, you know where I'm going with this. For those who didn't hear it, we just said, Frank, when we come back from a break, we're going to have you, we're going to yell out, we're going to blurt out characters, you know, or people. You're going to break into those imitations, but I'm going to give you a topic to talk about, but you're not going to know before we do it. And I said, Willy Wonka, because I knew Frank would be able to roll on this one. I said, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And then I said, started off as, you know, John Madden, and you started going, and I'd say Chris Rock. And then he'd immediately transition to Chris Rock, continuing to talk about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And then it was Seinfeld. And then it was, Al Pacino. And so I've seen you the other day. I saw it on your Twitter, and you guys should follow him on there as well. Probably Instagram. I'm not sure, but You had, I don't know, I want to say your wife off camera doing that, and it was really, really good. Did that start with our show? Is that where that was the first time, or had you had people do that before?
Well, once, first, that's my daughter who yells those
out. Oh, okay.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, it might have been the first time I ever did it on the air somewhere.
Okay.
I had done it reading a book when I was a kid, like in high school. I used to go, we used to do that. My friend John Zur's house, in his basement, everybody, you know, the high school kids, we'd all hang out down there and we would make videos and stuff like that. This is sounding real creepy. But we, you know, we would do videos and I would read books like that. And they would call some things out that way as well. But I'm pretty sure I never told you about that, and you just tried it, and we started doing it. So it might not have been something I'd ever really done on the air before, and it was just parallel thinking, and it actually got me going to start doing that again.
It was phenomenal.
It was absolutely
phenomenal.
That's one of the fun things. I mean, that's one of the things that makes me love. There's people that do impressions better than me. I've always known that. There's people that do dead-on voices better. I had the sports niche that were for a long time nobody else was really doing. Now there's quite a few people doing. I mean, guys, Lance, you've always done tons of impressions too, and the radio guys that are really good that do it. There was nobody doing it on TV nationally. And now with the internet, there's just tons of people doing it everywhere. But I don't remember where I was going now. I was trying to give you props, but at the same time, I forgot what it was.
No. And you did Jim, and you started incorporating Jim Rome, who was really big at the time. But I like that you've continued to add to the repertoire. This is going to be a little.
I wanted to ask you though. Tell us about the show and how it's evolved. What we're going to see April 5th and 6th?
5th and 6th.
5th and 6th. What are we going to see at the Improv?
Well, I'm working on a bunch of different stuff now. I'm trying to find different takes for some of the impressions people know. And then working on what are the takes for the newer types of impressions, which is harder because I have two audiences. Your audience actually kind of blends them together because you guys have always been a big pop culture reference type of show, more because of Lance than John, I think.
way more.
John. Yeah. I'm just once again trying to prove that I know the show. I have the people that know me for just flat out sports stuff, and then a lot of things that I'm doing, on social media because I wanted to hit a broader audience all around. I still do a bunch of the sports stuff. But the broader audience all around, hitting the Robert Downey Jr.'s and stuff like that, where he just pauses halfway through a sentence and burps out the punchline. You know, those types of things are the difference, that I'm really working on trying to extend a lot of those types of voices that people haven't seen in different. I don't want to call them situations because I like to make, maybe you don't know. I'm trying to make. Have a point of view so I can do something different with them. For example, the Jeff Goldblum, the way I figured out with a guy that I've been working on writing stuff, we figured out we were bouncing stuff back and forth. Jeff Goldblum is like a tourist and a tour guide at the same time talking to each other. It'd be like, he's like, yes, what's this? Ooh, Lady Liberty, yes, given to the United States as a gift by France. They're actually talking about taking it back. Is that real? I don't know, but we'll find out. Why? Ooh, is it where it is? You'll find out when, after the break.
That's pretty good. That is how he talks.
That is how Jeff Goldblum talks. It's the Houston Improv, April 5th and 6th. improv.com
improvtx.com. Yeah, and then just follow the link to Houston.
Yeah, improvtx.com. Frank Caliendo coming to town. Are you coming in the studio on the 4th?
Yes, I'm in Dallas on the 3rd. I think I'm driving overnight, or not overnight. Well, how far is Dallas from you guys?
Three and a half hours? Yeah, 3.5.
I'm going to be there for sure in town Friday morning, but I might actually come in a little early. I'm going to see what the situation is. But I'll be in with you guys for sure that week. I'll talk to you guys and figure out when.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Great hearing from you again, Frank. Man, we can't wait for you to get here. Frank Caliendo at the Improv, improvtx.com, April 5th and 6th. It is a great show. Seen it, but this is all great, great new stuff. We haven't seen you in a while, so it'll be great to see you. Come on in, Frank. Can't wait. April 5th and 6th, improvtx.com. Hey, Frank, we'll talk to you next in just a couple of weeks.
It's going to be fun, man. We'll do an unboxing, man. We'll unbox some Jordans, some vintage Jordans. I'll tell you what, man. It's going to be tremendous.
That is going to be tremendous.
I saw them. The unboxing the Raider stuff was really good the other day.
Yeah. Good
all
stuff.
All right, see you guys.
All right, we'll man. There's Frank Caliendo right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk a little John Daspit now.
Yeah, John Daspit, the people's champ when it comes to personal injury law. And there's a lot of shysters in that business. There's a lot of guys with bad reputations, and you know they're just, and frankly, I mean, they're well deserved. And one of the first things when you meet John Daspit is he really wants to separate himself and let you know he's not one of those guys. And the thing that separates John Daspit and his law firm is that he hires a variety of lawyers, a large contingency of lawyers, because he wants to have enough people on staff to handle your cases and give it the proper amount of time. This is not about getting rid of your case, getting it done, making a settlement with the insurance company to get done, take a commission and get out of there like those other guys do. This is about discovering what it is, you know, in terms of your hospital bills, in terms of future issues, whether you're going to have surgery or physical therapy, or did you get an MRI on your, you know, on your shoulder? Or did you get an X-ray on your neck? Wherever you're having issues, he wants to make sure everything's fine because the insurance needs to pay for it. If you don't get that covered in your settlement, you're going to be responsible for it down the road. That's why they don't want you, you know, to deal with the insurance company early on, because that insurance company is going to try to sweet talk you. When you're on the other side, they try to sweet talk you and then give you a not so great deal. Of course, when you have your own insurance, they're just screwing you right to your face. Well, you're going to get screwed one way or the other. In this instance, they're going to give you a settlement that's not a good settlement. Let John Daspit fight for you. He'll get you a fair settlement, pain and suffering, time missed from work, your hospital bills, everything is going to be on point. And I promise you, that's the difference with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, DaspitLaw.com, or call 713-CALL-NOW.